Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Matthew 19, 21. And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me."
Thank you, Doug. Good morning, everyone. You can have your Bibles open to where he just read from in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, and you will see that phrase that ends that verse on our screen behind me. It is 2019. It's sort of hard for me to comprehend that. Sometimes it's still hard for me to say it. But it's a new year for all of us, and it's a new year for our church, and we've been blessed over this past year as a church. And we look forward to the ways in which the Lord will lead us and bless us in the year to come. We're blessed today with a number of you who are visiting with us. Some of you are here from out of town. It's sort of the end of the holiday traveling season, but we're glad you're here with us. And we hope that wherever you are going to, before the day or the week is over, that you have a safe journey and that you're blessed by our time together today. But some of you are visiting with us and you're from this area. And this is a great way to start off a new year, and we're blessed by your presence. And I want to encourage you and invite you, if you're looking for a church family, if you've been searching for something more, if maybe your life in the past, whether it's year or months or week or whatever, if for some reason, whatever the reason, maybe it's a New Year's resolution just to be here today, we're glad you're here. But we want you to be a part of us, we want to be a part of you, and we want us to grow together in the Lord. And if you're looking for a church family and you want to know more about us, you're welcome to speak with really any of us, but especially among our elders or myself, we'd be happy to sit down and talk with you anytime. I also, just for our church family's sake, I want to briefly introduce you to a few people. I was blessed on New Year's Day to receive a phone call and to say that there were a couple of people who lived here locally who were ready to be baptized into Christ. And we have a new brother and sister, Aaron and Megan Hobson. I won't ask you all to stand up, but they're back there. Well, there they are. They were baptized into Christ on Tuesday, and we rejoice with them. And Megan's mother, Pam, is with us as well. And so I encourage our church family to welcome them, to make them feel a part of us, because that's what we are. We are a spiritual family with God as our Father. And so at this time, if you will, let's all pray together as we welcome them into our church family. Father, we again praise you and thank you for this beautiful day and this wonderful start to a new year on this first Sunday of 2019. And Father, we especially right now rejoice with Aaron and Megan and their recent decision to put your son on in baptism, to be identified with his life, his death and burial and resurrection. And in their new lives, in your Son and by your Spirit, Father, we pray that you bless them, enrich them, and help us as their church family to walk with them, and help us all, God, to follow you and to follow your Son. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son and the gift of his grace. But we pray, Father, that with that gift, that we make the most of what you give us and that we live for you and for him, and that others may see Christ living in us. Bless us all as we enter into this new year. Help all of us, whatever we need to do to be right with you, Father, whatever we need to do to grow, to be more like Jesus, help us by faith, Father, to seek those things and to live them out. We praise you for every good and perfect thing. Again, we thank you for our new brother and sister. And we thank you for our brother, your son, who is our Savior. It's through him that we pray. Amen. So our theme for this year is Come, Follow Me. Straight from the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 19, 21, found in a couple of other places, this interaction that Jesus has with a man that we usually refer to as the rich young ruler. This morning is an introduction really to a fuller sermon next week in which I will explore more deeply, especially this interaction between Jesus and the rich young ruler. But for our purposes this morning, I especially want us to help us understand what this phrase, this statement that probably many of us are familiar with that we can easily take for granted, what is Jesus communicating when he says, "Come follow me"? Associated with come follow me is the idea of being a disciple. You are going to hear the words disciple and discipleship a lot in my lessons, sometimes in our Bible classes, and in some of the initiatives that we seek to take place among us in 2019. And disciple is one of those words that you will find in Scripture, and sometimes we throw it around in church circles. But a lot of times maybe we as Christians wonder, well, what does that word mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to practice discipleship? Well, for a lot of people, when they hear that, they think, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm a disciple, right? Well, I wish it were that easy. Now, in actuality, if I am a Christian, I should be a disciple. Those terms should be synonymous. We should really be able to use those interchangeably. We should be able to say that because I am a Christian, I am a disciple, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. But we all recognize that in our country, in our society, really throughout the world, that sometimes that word Christian just gets thrown around rather easily, doesn't it? Somebody say, well, I'm a Christian, and he's a Christian, and she's a Christian, and they're Christians, and that's a group of Christian people, And it really just becomes sort of a moniker, a name, just a term to throw around, just like you say, well, you know, me, I was born in West Virginia. I'm a West Virginian, or we're, most of us, we're Americans. Or you know, I'm a part of a team, or I belong to this school, and so I'm identified with some sort of mascot. And so sometimes we just throw around this term Christian as just sort of a name, a title, a moniker to go by. But really, that word Christian, when it's originally found in Scripture, it was directly tied to this word that you find a lot more of in the Bible, this word disciple. And that word disciple means to be a follower. We'll say a little bit more about that here in a moment. But Jesus, when he comes across people who are interested in him, we often find him saying this phrase or something similar to it. Come follow me. This morning I just want to break down what the idea of discipleship is, what it means to be a disciple based on these three words. We're going to begin with the word come. The word come is simply from Jesus. It's an invitation to live with. Point number one, come means an invitation to live with. And Jesus, when he sees somebody, whether it's the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, or for many of the people that we now call the apostles, sometimes Jesus doesn't even use the word come. He'll just say, follow me. He'll see somebody like Matthew and he'll say, follow me. And we'll say a little bit more about these interactions as we go throughout the coming months and throughout this year. But Jesus, when he says, even follow me, what is he saying? He says, I am inviting you to be with me. I'm inviting you to even live with me. Jesus is not saying it. He's not dragging people by the ear saying, you're going to follow me. You have no choice in this. No, Jesus says this is an invitation. And that's why especially this phrase, come follow me, that word come is important because it's our way of understanding Jesus is saying, I am inviting you, but you have a choice. Jesus doesn't drag us kicking and screaming down the road of discipleship. He says, come. And what we will find, and as we explore this rich young ruler next week, guess what? He doesn't come. Not everybody who's been invited comes and follows Jesus. But it is an invitation. Now, everything that I've ever been invited to in my life, not everybody was invited. And sometimes some people were invited to something and I wasn't invited to something. That's okay. That happens in life. Here's something we all need to know, though, about Jesus. His invitation is universal. Jesus excludes nobody. Jesus says to all, come. In fact, he specifically says in Matthew chapter 11, beginning of verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, he has that phrase, who are weary and heavy laden. But it begins with, come to me, all. And in reality, we all, at some point, in some way, we are weary and heavy laden. We can't bear this load of life all by ourselves. We certainly can't bear the weight of our sin all by ourselves. So Jesus says, come. And he says, in so many words, live with me. As you watch Jesus' disciples in Scripture, when Jesus says come, he really means it. He doesn't mean come and, well, you all just stay home and every now and then I'll drop you a letter or a line and, you know, I'll have somebody check up on you. No, when Jesus says come, what do these people do? They come with him. They get to know Jesus on a personal and intimate basis. And that's why I say come means to live with him. And I realize that for us 2,000 years later, we don't have the physical proximity to the body of Jesus Christ on earth the way that the original disciples did. But Jesus' invitation to us is still the same, that he wants to live with us and he wants us to live with him. But here's the reality. A lot of people, even people who call themselves Christians, and please don't think I'm attacking anybody personally. This is just reality. A lot of people who call themselves Christians and like the idea of being a Christian, they really don't want to live with Jesus on an ongoing basis. They want Jesus in a time of emergency. They want Jesus when there's a problem in their life and they want him to come in like a superhero and save the day. Or maybe they want Jesus down the road, like, you know, when we get older and death seems to be closer to us than it is right now. You know, someday I'd like to have Jesus with me. I just don't want Jesus with me all the time right now. That's not the way discipleship works. Discipleship is not this, well, you know, today I'd like to have Jesus with me, or in this situation, you know, when I'm at church, I like Jesus being with me at church. At work, I'd rather Jesus not be with me at work. At school, you know what? It's best if Jesus doesn't get too close to me at school. And so I'll invite him into my life when it's convenient. That's not the way it works. Jesus has actually extended the invitation to us. He says, I want to be with you. Actually, in John 15, he uses this word abide. He says, I want to abide in you and I want you to abide in me like a vine and branches abide in each other. You can't separate or distinguish between these two things. I want us flowing in and among and through one another. But that's how closely I want to be connected to you. But you have to allow me. So come. He invites us. He invites all of us. And he invites us to our next word, follow. Follow is an action to live like. An action to live like Jesus. The invitation is to live with Jesus, but he says follow now. He says, I want you to just be willing to try this out. I want you to try living like me. That's exactly what he invited all of his disciples to do. He says, if you really want to come after me, then come follow me. And when you see me do something a certain way, I want you to do that kind of thing. When you find yourself in a similar situation, that's what I want you to do. The word disciple, if you look in a lexicon, maybe even a dictionary, you will find a number of synonyms associated with this term. A lot of times you'll see terms like student or learner, and those are appropriate synonyms and definitions. A disciple of someone is a student or a learner of that person or that thing. But for Christians, many times we have sanitized the word, sterilized it, in a sense that we've removed all real power from what it means to follow Jesus. Because being a student or learner of Jesus, you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again, it doesn't mean that being the church is like going to school. And I'm afraid that many times we've turned Christianity into an educational system. I'm all for Bible study. Listen, I'm a preacher, I'm a minister, I love to teach. So please don't mistake what I'm saying here. There's an element of our faith that involves gaining information, growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if all we ever do is grow in our head knowledge and don't actually live out and follow Jesus with what we've gained and learned, it's done us nothing. This is not about having information to be able to answer questions on Jeopardy or on a test or in a conversation with somebody, debate about what Scripture says. There's a time and place maybe where you need to have those conversations. But this information that we gain about Jesus is to be lived out, to be practiced, to be followed. And I say all that to say this. Sometimes people have the mistaken notion. Sometimes it's well-educated people who act like this. And sometimes it's people who aren't all that well-educated who act like this. Sometimes people act like that you have to be a Bible scholar or you have to be a person of great intelligence. And let me even throw this out. That you have to be literate to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You do not. The vast majority of Christians throughout human history, you know what? They couldn't read. Now, we're blessed in this country that we have a high percentage of people who can read. But you do not have to be able to read to be a disciple of Jesus. And I'm not putting it, all of you teachers, please don't come to me afterwards and say, Blaine's putting down education. Not putting down education. What I'm saying is following Jesus is about something so much greater than just head knowledge. When I was a teenager, a phrase that was really popular for a while, what would Jesus do? That's a great question. Asking the question doesn't make you a disciple. Living out the answer to that question is what makes you a disciple. You ask, what would Jesus... You know, we enter into all kinds of difficult circumstances in life sometimes. And as I go about my day-to-day life, the everyday things, and that's when Jesus told his disciples, come follow me, he doesn't sit them down in a classroom. He says, I want to take you through the adventures of life. You come across a community where there are some lepers. How do you interact with those lepers? The disciples sometimes watch Jesus. They're like, never seen anything like this before. What's Jesus doing? He's showing them, here's what it means to follow me. Somebody who is an outcast, somebody who is a sinner, somebody who the rest of society has abandoned and looks down upon, Jesus engages and interacts with them. His disciples are watching. What would Jesus do? They get to see right before their eyes. This is what Jesus does. How does Jesus speak? How does Jesus worship? How does Jesus approach his heavenly Father? How does Jesus pray? You see, everything that Jesus was doing throughout his life, he was showing his disciples. Someday you're going to be on your own. And you're going to face similar situations. And if you really want to be my disciple, I'm calling you to do things like I do them. He actually says that very clearly. John chapter 13, verse 15. We'll probably look at this passage later this year. It's when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. They're amazed that Jesus is doing this. They should be amazed that Jesus is doing this. But then he says this. He says, you see me do this? I've left for you what? An example. That you do the same thing that I've done here. That you do this for one another. You do this for those you come into contact with. I've left you an example. Peter uses similar terminology in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. When he talks about the way in which Jesus suffered. Now that's hard to deal with sometimes. But in talking about Jesus' suffering, Peter writes this. He says, in doing this and suffering like this, Jesus left for you an example. That you may follow in his steps. That's why I have this picture here, if you can see the steps on it. That you follow in Jesus' steps. That you take the action to live like Jesus on an ongoing basis. I'll also throw this out there while I'm thinking about it. We don't perfectly get our feet always in his steps, do we? There's a learning process to this. Sometimes we had snow a few weeks ago. I noticed Bo wanted to be in my steps. Kids like to do that when they follow their parents in the snow. He didn't get them all exactly right. My strides, even though I'm not very tall, my stride's still a little bit longer than his. Sometimes he missed a step here and there. But he still was trying to follow me. And that's what it means to be a disciple. That leads us to our last word. Me. Come follow me. And this is the person that we live for. Now, this word disciple, we're going to say it a lot this year, but I've got a confession to make. The word disciple itself is not a special word. What I mean by that is you can be a disciple pretty much of anyone or anything. Now, we don't use that word very much these days, but as you open Scripture, I'll give you one example, Mark chapter 2, verse 18, John the Baptist, he has disciples. The Pharisees, they have disciples. Jesus is not the only person or the only entity who has ever had disciples. Today, we are all disciples of something. Hopefully, most of us in here, I would like to be able to say all of us, are disciples of Jesus Christ. But in reality, there are other things we follow. There are ideas or philosophies that we follow closely or we maybe sometimes get passionate about. In our society, there are celebrities, there are famous people, there are powerful people who have large followings. We even, on Twitter, we say, "You can follow me." We aren't necessarily saying we're a disciple of those people, but we follow things. We watch closely certain things. We get fired up about things. Some people follow their sports teams. That's their number one passion in life. This rich young ruler, we'll find out as we look at him more next week. What's he follow? He follows money. You can be a disciple of money. But we're all disciples of something. So you just have to acknowledge that. And for you, you need to look in your spiritual mirror and say, who or what is it that I'm following in life? What is most motivating and driving my purpose and my direction in life? So the word disciple isn't special. But the way we're going to use it is special because of the one we follow. That's Jesus Christ. That's God in the flesh himself. And if we are going to have the boldness and the faith to say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, what we're saying is he, more than anything else, guides and leads and directs my life. He is the one that I'm living for. He is the one that I'm living like. And he is the one that I'm living with. I'm living for him. I'm not living for myself anymore. And when Jesus invites people to be his disciples, he's saying, it's not about you anymore. Now some people would say, well, man, that makes Jesus rather bold. Well, you can be bold when you're God. And when you're God and you ask somebody to follow you, what you're saying is, I've got the best stuff for your life already. I've got everything that you need. You've just got to be willing to set aside maybe this other stuff you've been following for a long time and come follow me. Throughout this year, we'll talk about the cost of discipleship. Sometimes I'm afraid that in our sermons and our teaching, we often talk about the cost, but we forget to tell people all of the benefits on the other side. Because the benefits far outweigh the cost. There are costs, there are sacrifices. But there is so much more to gain because of who Jesus is. But we've got to be willing to truly follow him. And so as we think about what it means to be a disciple, this isn't just for 2019. Last week I finished 2018 by saying what we said about the Spirit, it's not just for 2018, and discipleship is not just for 2019, but it's going to be a focus of our thoughts, of our lessons, of our teaching, of a lot of the passages that we study in Scripture throughout this year. And hopefully it will move us, motivate us to follow more closely in the steps of Jesus. So this next screen is just going to be a quick summary of everything that I've said this morning. This phrase, come follow me. If you really want to understand what it means to be a disciple, come means to live with Jesus. Follow, it means to live like Jesus. And me, it means to live for Jesus. Not living for or like or with anyone ahead of Jesus. It's about him. And in doing so, what happens to us? We are conformed into his image. We look more and more like him as time passes. Doesn't make us sinlessly perfect, but it does make us disciples, and not just Christians in name only. This year, I've done something like this in years past. I want to give you something practical to take away, very specific each week with the lessons as we think about discipleship. Some weeks I might challenge you with something rather daring or bold, maybe even a little bit scary, might push you outside of your comfort zone. But for this week, I'm going to make it pretty easy. And it's on this next screen, and I'm going to call this, follow this week. If we're going to talk about following Jesus, I want you to follow this week. Throughout this coming week, reflect on everyday decisions you make differently because you follow Jesus. I want you to go throughout this week. So I'm not asking you to do anything different except reflect within yourself. Maybe as you begin your day, maybe as you end your day, as you go throughout the day, consider, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, and I'm going to use this word Christian synonymously with disciple. If I am a Christian, if I am a disciple, what have I done today differently than what I would have done if I wasn't a Christian? Because there you begin to identify the things that really make a disciple. I didn't do my own thing. I didn't follow my way. I didn't follow the world's way. I followed Jesus' way. Because I'm allowing Him to live with me. And I'm living for Him. To be like Him. And so I encourage you in that way. Consider your daily interactions. Discipleship sometimes takes us to places we never would imagine. But as you'll find as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a lot of times the disciples, they were just doing the stuff of everyday life. But in the stuff of everyday life, they discovered what it means to be a disciple. What about you this morning? If you are ready to live with, to live like, and to live for Jesus, if you in your heart, you say, you know what? That's what life's all about. Living with, living like, and living for Jesus. You're ready to be a disciple. I want to close by looking at Matthew chapter 28. You're going to hear this passage a lot as well in the coming year. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, as He is leaving this earth. As Matthew closes out the narrative of Jesus' life in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then He tells His disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." He says, this is the purpose that I've left you with. You're my disciples. I want you to go make disciples. And He tells them how to do it. You baptize them and you teach them. But you just don't teach them for the sake of information. You teach them to do the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus taught, the things that Jesus commanded. So let me throw this out there for our church in 2019. When we say, come follow me, it's going to sometimes have a spin to it. We're also going to invite people to follow us, not because of who we are, but because of the fact that we follow Jesus. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Because if we're going to be disciples, we should also be disciple makers, inviting people to that invitation from Jesus to come follow Him. And so this morning, if you are ready to be that kind of person, that disciple of Jesus, to live with, to live like, to live for Him, do what Jesus Himself says in Matthew 28. Do what Aaron and Megan did this past Tuesday. Do what many of us here have done at some point in our past, to put Christ on in baptism, not just to say that I'm a Christian, but to say that I'm ready to be a disciple, to follow Him. For those of us who are Christians, let us use this moment of a new year to be renewed in our strength and our faith, to be renewed in our commitment to follow Jesus. Sometimes we err, sometimes the road is difficult, and sometimes we need help as we follow the Lord together. And if you need us to encourage you or help you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.